Yeah. Okay.
If Memphis wants to get in on it, they've got some guys that they can send over there, and they've got the ninth pick. And
They
they could
got the
get
13th. That's not that much further down.
it's not, but wait,
13th.
this man, they could get the ninth pick.
Give you 13 and Sasha.
There we go.
How you feel?
There we go.
How you feel about Sasha?
But like you said, though, ESPN wants it.
ESPN wants it.
ESPN wants it.
Oh, that I don't want to derail us too much. I just make a quick mention of it. Did you see the Stephen A. article? It
I
wasn't a
saw the
Stephen
tweet.
A. It
Yeah, I
was
saw
a
his demands, what he wants.
Lord.
Wow.
That man said, I want $25 million a year.
That's a know your worth situation, I guess. As much as we don't like him,
Well,
I
what's
mean,
crazy is
well, I like him, but
apparently there's a standing offer for
yeah,
$18 million.
that's crazy. And he said that's not enough.
$25 million for the business that this is a little unrealistic, I
How
feel.
much you think he generates, though? How
I
much
don't
you
think
think he
it. So
brings
that
in?
I was talking about that with Charlie and Complex earlier. I don't. He doesn't. There's no. You pay him $25 million. You're never seeing that money again. He doesn't generate $25 million. And here's why. I don't mean this to be demeaning. There's like a there's levels, right? There's a certain point you can go where you look at ESPN. Like Cowherd left. Cowherd was valuable for it. He left. Skip. Stephen A's, he left. Stephen A at one point was gone. Mike Tirico left. Dan Patrick left. All of these guys left. ESPN survived. ESPN, through these changing times in media watching, it survived because it's ESPN. I used the analogy before. It's WrestleMania. Fans right now are shelling out $5,000, $10,000 to go to WrestleMania in next year in Las Vegas, having no clue who or what is going to happen at that event. It's the name. Something happens in sports, cheating scandal, death, arrest, big trade. You're turning to ESPN. And if Stephen A. is there, Stephen A. is there. If L. Duncan is there, if Kevin Negandhi is there, it doesn't matter. You're tuning to ESPN.
I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. Do you think, like, I think it's ESPN. I'm with you. But if he leaves First Take, is First Take, you think they'd still be the number one morning show?
Yeah. Because what you're talking about is the number one morning show in sports.
Just got to beat
Yeah,
Skip and Keyshawn.
absolutely. There's no, yeah, that other
What if
show
he
is
goes over
nothing.
there?
I don't think it works. It's better. It's probably better, but it doesn't work. It absolutely doesn't work.
Stephen A. comes off as the kind of guy to me where if he does leave ESPN, he's going to just start his own thing.
Well, he's
Well,
already
he
been,
already
yeah.
has
Well, I mean
too.
like
Like,
that, but just maybe go all in on that.
yeah, that's and that's
Like, I don't think he's going to FS1. Like, Stephen A is basically his own brand at this point.
No, I agree. I agree. I think it's kind of crazy for him to like scoff at $18 million for what he does. He works hard. He puts in work, but like you're not playing. But then like what is like do
Well,
you have an
remember, part of
idea?
the work he puts in isn't for ESPN. The
What you
Stephen
mean?
A. the show, the YouTube show, that's not a
No,
ESPN
but he puts in a
entity.
lot of work for ESPN. Like a lot of work.
No
He's
doubt.
all over the place. What do you think Robin Roberts makes for Good Morning America?
Not $18 million.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Like I didn't know.
Like I'm not sure who's the host of the Today Show. I should know that. I have no idea who the host of is it Hoda?
I don't know.
Like that, they might make $25 million. Like they're on every day, on the biggest. Like First Take can't compete with the Today Show. NBA Countdown can't compete with the Today Show. So if his basis for that, and again, I have no idea what they make. I think we could look up Matt. The last contract I remember was Matt Lauer's. Matt Lauer's was us like I wow, I didn't know people like made that much. But Robin isn't the main anchor every morning, Monday through Friday.
Gotcha.
They're probably in the vicinity of that $25 million number.
Matt Lauer's made like around 25 mil per year, 20 mil per year on some of his contracts.
Okay, so, and that was a long, so it might be higher, because that was before he...
2016, 2012 type stuff.
So they're like, yeah. And then, so Stephen A might be looking at like, yeah, I can't make their money.
Buddy, this ain't Good Morning America or the Today Show.
Yeah.
Bro, you're not even Kelly Ripa. I'm sorry.
I mean...
You don't even have the biggest, like, countdown show either. Like, Inside the NBA was way bigger than yours, too.
Yes and no, to, like, because to your earlier point, people don't stop watching Today Show if Robert Roberts or whoever ain't there. No, like, they gonna watch.
No,
like,
I think no, I disagree, because the options there are different. Like, no one's watching that trash that Fox puts out. But if you're not gonna go to the Today Show, you're gonna go to Good Morning America. Like, there, that's a legit. It's like it's the Tonight Show stuff. It's the Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon and all that. Like, that's a real battle. Mm-hmm. ESPN and Fox is not a battle.
The one thing I will say about Stephen A. Smith in this particular situation, once again, I can't even, that we talk about like sports and all this other stuff. I can't fathom being a media personality and be like, 18 million isn't enough. Like, that's crazy to me. But I'll say, on the flip side, RIP.
Damn shame on having the flip side.
If they willing to give you 18 million, they see some value in you. $18 million? And they're like, yeah, let's offer them $18 million. Like, that's some value. Like, I'll ask for 20 and we can, or I'll ask for 25 and we can meet at 20. $18 million? It's not like they offered him two and he was like, I want $25 million. They said, nah, he's worth $18
million. I'll say he's not like, I doubt that he's just pulling a number out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, him and his agent, I assume, at CAA, put together, like, here's, we could probably make this argument.
Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying, though?
Like, yeah, no, like, absolutely.
He's crazy for asking for 25. Well, they did offer him 18.
According
that's
to...
That's crazy.
Do you think he knows he's on his way out? Like, for them to offer you 18, like, that's a massive number. And for you to be like, no, I want 25, like, that's a massive gap right there.
I think with his YouTube stuff, he's been preparing for... And smartly so, he's been preparing for be able to survive if he's not with ESPN. Now, I don't think he's gonna make $25 million off the YouTube show, but I think he's always had that in his back pocket.
I didn't mean to go like this, like deep dive into this, but Good Morning America is 2 point. Like, this is just 1 week I'm looking at. This is called live plus same day, meaning the live rating. Plus the people who watched it on DVR that day.
Mm-hmm.
2.8 million. That's Good Morning America. 2.7 million. That's the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
2.2 is, I think their show's called like CBS This Morning or mm-hmm. something like that.
Gail King, shout out.
That's like 9 million people watching morning television, choosing between those three networks. Mm-hmm. I don't know that First Take, and I don't think Skip tops 100,000. I don't think he tops that, and I don't think First Take even approaches 1 million.
I don't know.
That's the difference.
I don't know. I feel like I've heard like some like 1 point something for First Take before.
Wow, that would shock me. That would
I could be wrong, but because I remember he was destroying Skip. Somebody would put
well, that's because Skip's numbers are. There might be more people watching this show right now. Then watch that trash that airs on Fox.
Sports Business Journal in January 5th this year said that First Take averaged about 464,000 viewers.
Sit down, Stephen A.
That ain't
sit down, bro.
Ballpark.
You want to make $25 million a year, you go to the network.
Like, to be honest, this is my point, though. He shouldn't have to sit down if they're willing to give him $18 million.
Well, you're right.
They see something to say, we'll give you $18 million.
You're right, and that's why if I'm ESPN, I don't even budge.
Mm.
Because 18, that's just contracts. You pay your talent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember when Greeny was the highest paid guy at like $8 million or $7 million, and we thought that was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stephen A. topped that, and I don't know that anyone has topped Stephen A. People think Pat McAfee has. Pat McAfee hasn't. Part of this, I'm sure, is his distaste for what's happened with Pat McAfee.
Mm-hmm.
They Pat McAfee, to the way I understand this, is not an ESPN employee. Mm-hmm. His show is licensed. Yeah. It's leased by ESPN.
Yeah.
And so all of those guys that you see on the show with the mullets and the pro wrestling t-shirts, yeah, Pat McAfee pays those guys from what ESPN pays him to have the show on. Mm. I'm sure Stephen A. saw that and said, yeah, you're going to have to pay me to do the same thing. Like, this is my network now. Mm. You need to pay me for it.
Yeah.
And if I was, I don't even know who runs that company anymore. I'd just be like, oh, thank you for your service.
Mm. Yeah. I think if I was.
L. Duncan, come here. You're getting a raise. You're the new face of ESPN. L. Duncan and Kevin Negandhi.
And I forget my girl with the bald head. I like her. She does a good job.
I forgot her name, too.
Yeah, she does a good. She was hosting NBA Today yesterday.
She was on, I think, as a guest yesterday. I forgot her name.
Well, there we got in the chat. Russell says, I was dealing on KC numbers. Oh. Well, hey, today.
Is it Christine Williamson?
Maybe. I don't know. I just know her on Instagram. I think her Instagram is like the bald head girl.
Yep, that's her.
Like that. Yeah. She's okay. Really good. I like her when she's on First Take, when she's hosting and stuff like that. She does a good job.
Well, we can't solve all of the problems at once. It's Malik Monk Day.
It's Malik Monk Day, baby. Let's go. Oh, boy. Malik said, I ain't leaving.
I'm kind of bugging out. I'm refocusing. I'm just bugging out at that 400,000 to 2.8 million number.
Yeah, there's levels to it.
Like, man, holy crap. No wonder them anchors over there are getting paid, yeah, or anchors, hosts, whatever you call them, are getting paid, you know, I imagine upwards of $30 million at this point.
That's a lot. That's a lot of money.
That's one of the most important positions. That might be the most important position on television.
The morning anchor?
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers.
The national ones.
The numbers are still there, so clearly people are watching. But, like, how long do you think that lasts?
The fact that it's still happening now leads me to believe it's not going away.
You think Jesse and his demographic is getting up watching today?
No.
So, like, when we're done watching TV, like, when we're – I don't even think we watch it, but, like, people a little older than us, when they're, you know, RIP, you know, gone, like, the number's still going to stay the same?
I think so. Mm. Well, here – like,
who's watching them, though? That was my point, because I don't think Jesse and them were watching them.
Like, I feel like
they'll eventually watch it.
Yeah, you stream it, like, watch it later on.
That's what you do. You wake up and you turn on the news.
They'll turn on something else.
We know they ain't watching. You ain't gonna watch Office reruns.
They gonna turn on whatever streaming service.
Well, and watch, you can watch NBC.
Well, no, and watch a show. Not really watch.
I don't think that's true.
They'll throw on YouTube.
I don't think
maybe
people
they put them on YouTube.
I don't think people are gonna stop watching the news. I don't think people are gonna stop watching the news. They're always gonna watch.
Hopefully, I'm here for a long time, and I can help that continue to go. I still read the newspaper.
No, you don't.
Do you really?
I thought we ended that.
Hold on. Reading the newspaper. You are
single-handedly
version.
Keeping Chris. You're the one guy who gets Chris Peterman's article in the paper.
No, I don't get the paper anymore, but I got the digital subscription.
What do you mean? You're not the only person who does that. Everybody does that.
That doesn't count.
What are you talking about?
We all go to the SAC B.
I'm not on my computer. I got it on the iPad. I read the paper.
That's what we do. You, at one point during the show, were actually reading a physical paper.
Yeah, that's when I...
It's not the Sacramento Bee that you're reading that's amazing. It's the fact you were actually walking to your porch to the end of your very, very long driveway.
It's
picking up in your silk robe, picking up the paper and popping the rubber band off. And let's see what Chris Biederman's talking about.
Maybe you got a coffee in hand as well.
Nah, those were the days. Those were the days. That's when I
slippers on and everything.
A white chocolate mocha.
That's when we first bought the house, and I wanted to feel like, you know, I got a house, so I had the paper delivered. But they didn't always deliver the physical paper every day, so I was like, I just got to go to the
paper guy on the phone. Like, yeah, it's just one idiot in Elk Grove. I got to drive to his house every day and drop this damn paper off. Just drove past Chris Biederman. He's like, what are you doing? I got to go drop this one damn newspaper off.
You ever seen someone drop off a paper before? Like, one time this like Mitsubishi car drives down my street, throws a paper. I was like, oh, so that's how it goes down.
a kid on a bike.
I used to have a paper route. Yeah.
Well, we know that. It's Malik Monk Day.
Hey,
and,
Malik Monk
we're celebrating
Day.
With our man Chris Biederman, who's with us now. We'll come back. We'll talk with Chris Biederman about newspapers, anchor salaries, and probably most importantly, Malik Monk and the Sacramento Kings. It's Stilo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Let's get right into the conversation, man. It was funny. I think I text Chris maybe like 5 minutes before the tweet came out. And I literally text Chris like, hey, man, you free tomorrow? It's Friday. I haven't talked to you in a little bit. We can literally talk about whatever you want. He's like, yeah, no, I think that'll work. And a couple minutes later, Adrian Wojnarowski tweets about Malik Monk and probably changes the course of this conversation yes. a little bit, as Chris Biederman, who's with us now, does an amazing job covering the Sacramento Kings for the Sacramento Bee, does an amazing job covering the San Francisco 49ers as well and Candlestick Chronicles. But, Chris, it's Malik Monk Day, and we were just talking on the live stream, on the video stream on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. You were, like we were, a bit surprised that this was announced so quickly.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, if you just say to Malik Monk, like, hey, Malik, what's good? What's going on? He'll tell you $100 million. That's like one of his like go-to like, you know, responses when you say, hey, what's good? And so, you know, even listening to De'Aaron Fox after the team lost in the play-in in New Orleans, talking about, you know, the possibility with Malik hitting free agency this summer, De'Aaron Fox wasn't exactly exuding a whole lot of confidence that Malik would be back. He was like, yeah, it'd be great to have Malik back, but it's a business. And the, you know, the reading between the lines, it sounded like Fox thought there would be better offers elsewhere. And, you know, in my mind, I was like, yeah, if you can go play in, you know, a state like Florida with no state income taxes and get $100 million from the Orlando Magic, then like that would be a pretty advantageous situation. You'd still be on a, you know, a playoff team. You could be a key part of a playoff team there. And in my head, that's kind of where I thought this would go. And I know, you know, he obviously was a great fit with the Kings, is a great fit with the Kings, Mike Brown, De'Aaron Fox, the whole roster. But I was a little bit surprised because I do think he took a discount. And I'm, you know, I think he took less money to maybe stay in a place where he's more comfortable, where he obviously is a really great fit. He makes it very clear over and over again that he loves playing in Sacramento, that he loves the fans. So it's a huge deal for the Kings, because had they not been able to retain Malik, you know, this offseason looks a lot different, and it probably becomes a lot harder for them to, you know, to improve the roster. So with Malik back, they still have avenues to improve the roster, and I think they're sitting in a pretty good spot. So it's a huge development for the Kings, because, you know, I was pretty surprised, man. I thought he was going to go get $100 million from the Magic, or, you know, wherever else. I thought there was going to be a better offer out there, and maybe there were, but I think this shows that he was pretty committed to being in a place where he's a really good fit in Sacramento.
See, the thing, Chris, that I always believed was I didn't think. I could be wrong, might definitely be wrong, but I didn't think there was a $100 million offer out there from teams that made sense, right? Like,
sure.
We talked about, you know, possibly Detroit.
Yeah.
And Detroit could throw a $100 million offer out there, but like Damian said earlier, enjoy that, because that might be one of your last big contracts. So
right.
It really wouldn't work out the way people thought it might. Orlando, I never thought Orlando was going to get to 100. I never thought San Antonio was going to get to 100. I thought he was, at best, about a $20 million a year guy, which would put him at 80, which was not far from the Kings' 70-78. And I always thought if it was that close, you might as well just come back to Sacramento, where you know the situation. They, in some ways, tailor the offense and what they do around your skill set. And like Dame pointed out perfectly so many times, is that lines you up to get another $100 million potentially or more mm-hmm. with your situation here in Sacramento. So I always felt if that was the case, if it was somebody saying $20 million a year, you know, Malik, we want you to play, I'd be like, I don't think that's enough to get him out of Sacramento, unless he's just like to the penny money motivated. And I didn't know if he was or not, but I hoped he wasn't.
Yeah. And there's the element of, you know, the last year, what's been reported the last year is a player option. Mm-hmm. So that's about as much of a sweetener as the Kings could offer him, mm-hmm. given the financial restraints with the early bird rights and those things. So yeah, man, I think it's a, I think it's nothing but positive for the Kings. I think, like, honestly, I was surprised. But I everything you said, I agree with. Like, I, you know, maybe the market, maybe we're so used to the market being inflated and, like, seeing these Allen Crabbe and Evan Turner deals, you know, and always thinking about, like, the cap spiking and, oh, guys are just going to get paid because the cap's going to keep going up. Maybe teams are just, you know, a little bit more reluctant to throw big contracts around because they've seen what's happened with Evan Turner and Allen Crabbe and those types. Yeah. And just said, like, mm-hmm. Nah, we're going to be more prudent. And maybe the free agent money comes back to earth a little bit this summer.
Yeah. And we've been pretty adamant today, like, hey, we're going to have fun. We're going to this is a big deal. Malik Monk is back. We're going to celebrate it. We're going to have fun. But come Monday, it's like, it's a question I'll ask you. Okay, now what? Like, the draft's 3 days away. Free agency's a few days after that. Like, all right, great, great. No, it was fun. Had a great weekend. Pop some Luke Belair. It was a good look. But, okay, what are we going to do now?
So, you know, there's Jake Fisher from Yahoo's been reporting about Zach LaVine. The first question I have about the whole Zach LaVine thing, and I guess I'll ask you guys this. Would you rather have Kyle Kuzma? Yes. And Zach LaVine?
I would, yeah. Yeah, I think we both would.
Because
yeah.
He's the contract is, like, quite literally half as much
mm-hmm.
with Zach LaVine. You're looking at, you know, I think it's like 43, 45, and 48 with a player option in that third year for Zach LaVine. So he would come to the Kings and be the highest paid player coming off foot surgery. That's kind of scary to me. And I think, you know, the number, they play different positions, obviously, but the numbers are pretty comparable with Kuzma. What they bring to the team would be pretty comparable. But Kuzma's at like 22 and then 20 and 18 over the next 3 years. It's like half as much money for similar production. And I don't know, you know, if Kuzma's even available, I don't know that you would have to give Washington a whole lot more in a trade than you would for Zach LaVine. And not to say, you know, getting Zach LaVine, I think he would give the Kings some much needed punch, particularly in the playoffs or in a postseason setting, giving them another scorer, really a third scorer to pair with, you know, De'Aaron, Malik, and Keegan. I mean, a four scorer, if you want to put it that way, too, to surround Domas, who would be a screener, distributor, passer type guy. Mm-hmm. It would make sense. Just the health concerns and the contract scares me. And I wonder, man, like, wouldn't you rather have Kyle Kuzma, who's making half the money that Zach LaVine is, you know, over the same years? Like, I think to me that makes more sense, but I would totally understand the upgrade that Zach LaVine presents. I would just be a little worried about the long-term financial ramifications of paying a guy like that over $40 million for the next 3 years. Because, you know, more likely than not, he's picking up that player option and mm-hmm. what, 27, 28, or whatever it is.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we've always talked about on here, right, Dame, is like there isn't going to be a player that you acquire if you're the Kings that doesn't give you some concern somewhere, whether it's their contract, whether it's injury history, whether it's you know, performance. Is this guy good enough to put you over the top? All this other stuff. Somebody's going to have some type of warts to their resume.
Contract and money length being long, or in the BI case, the too short.
Exactly. And he got injury issues as well. So I'm the guy I would want most is Kuzma, but kind of like you alluded to as well, Chris, I do see benefits in the possible Zach LaVine acquisition, even with Malik Monk there. You talked about the playoffs and having another guy that can go get a basket. I mean, I think that I think that's an underrated trait to your roster nowadays. Like you need, you know, a bucket getter, whether it's a guy that can create or hit an open jump shot for you or whatever the case may be, just to keep them dogs off of you. You know what I'm saying? If you're De'Aaron Fox or if you're Sabonis or Keegan or whatever the case may be, if you can surround those guys with another score, it can only help. So I know a lot of people are down on the thought of Zach LaVine, but while he's not my first choice, I see benefit in Zach LaVine being here.
I mean, the biggest benefit might be you can get him on the cheap, right? Like yes. if the Bulls are really trying to offload that contract and you can get him for Harrison Barnes, Kevin Herter and 13 or whatever the package would be, like that, you know, that might be a way to upgrade the team on the cheap that otherwise wouldn't be available. Yeah. And again, I have no idea what Kyle Kuzma would cost, but I wouldn't hate the deal. I would totally get it because this is a team that, you know, you're trying to win playoff series. You're trying to, I think their best way to get there is add scoring punch. I don't think that's a mystery after seeing what's happened in the play-in and the first round of the playoffs the last 2 years, right? So, yeah, Zach LaVine would make sense. It's a lot of money, man. It's a lot of money for a guy coming off an injury like the one he has, and I would have concerns about that too, for sure.
Do you think anything, Chris, is do you think Malik's role is the same next year? Do you think he's a six man again?
That's a good question. I know he said he wanted to start, and you know, Mike Brown always says it's not really about it's who starts, it's who finishes games. But I mean, I think if you're paying him, you're probably starting him. But then, you know, where does Keon fit in? Are you going to start small and go De'Aaron, Malik, and Keon in the same starting lineup? Mm-hmm. Do you bring Keon off the bench, and is Keon as effective off the bench? I really like Malik in his current role. And, I do think, like, there's value to him bringing that energy off the bench. I think there's a ton of value to that. I don't think the Kings, you know, necessarily need to start him just to start him because he'll be one of their highest paid guys and now clearly a part of their core now that he's on this contract. Mm-hmm. I like where he's at, what he brings, and the flexibility, the ability, you know, you start off slow and then you inject Malik into the game. And, you know, his ability to run with the second unit and play, you know, with Davion and with De'Aaron at different times. Like, I like the flexibility you have of bringing him off the bench. I wouldn't have any problem with starting him, but I do wonder, like, given the Kings' overall sort of lack of depth, if it were me, I would keep him coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, he's still going to be a crunch time guy for you. So I care less about who's starting, and I'm kind of with Mike Brown in the idea that, like, you want your best guys finishing the games, and starting is less important.
We don't know if this is the case at all. We're just having a conversation. We're not reporting or whatever. But if in negotiations Malik said, yeah, if I come back, I want to be a starter. And Mike Brown is there too, so it's not like they're doing this without Mike. But everybody's of the understanding. Yeah, I want to start. Would you – because I'm with you. I would like for him to come off the bench. But if he says he wants to start, that wouldn't be something that would keep me from signing him. It's like, all right, well, that's okay. If that's what you want to get you back here, then let's do it.
Yeah, and you figure that out. And maybe that's something that changes down the road. But, like, I think we've seen in the NBA, you know, Manu Ginobili, Andre Iguodala, guys like – who can be super important players on championship type teams who come off the bench. And it's less important, you know, the fact that they're in the starting lineup and their names being read during intros. I do think it's less important, but, like, I don't know, man, like what happens to Keon if he's not starting, right? Is, like, if you're bringing in Keon midway through the first quarter, is he the same guy that he was last year? Is he, you know, is Keon benefiting from getting a lot of minutes with the second unit, or do you maximize Keon by playing him with the starters, just saying, hey, go be a dog defensively and hit open shots when the ball finds you, right? Like, I think that's how you maximize Keon. I just think everything fits a little bit better when you have Malik coming off the bench. But yeah, like, if Malik's like, yeah, start me or I'm leaving, you know, I'm not tied to keeping him on the bench. I'm like, yeah, sure, we'll start you. We'll figure that out later. Like, that's all good with us. So I get both sides of it. I don't think it's ultimately going to be that important, but, you know, we'll see. Like, I think, like I said, it's who's playing in the last 5 minutes of games that matters.
I think there's also a scenario where, like, Malik's coming off the bench right now, today on June 21st, with the way that the roster is made up. But we got a few other ideas in mind, and if those things start to shake out, maybe it does make more sense for Malik to start because now we have a stronger second unit and we would like him in that starting lineup. Of course, that's all who knows at this point. Mm-hmm. But I'm still of the belief that Malik will do what's there. Like, everyone is in the best interest, working within the best interest of what will help the Sacramento Kings win basketball games.
Yeah, and my second thought after just the pure surprise of, you know, the idea of Malik taking a discount to come back, okay, what's this mean for Kevin Huerter, right? Mm-hmm. Like the guy who's been in every trade rumor, you know, really for the last, what, 6 months or whatever it's been, five months, whatever. You know, is he going to be, he was a starter, super streaky player. I know there was some frustration about, you know, his limitations defensively midway through last year. You know, I do wonder, like, was Kevin Huerter's future addressed at all in the Malik Monk conversations? And if Kevin Huerter's on the way out, and say he is on the way out for somebody who plays a different position, whether that's, you know, Kyle Kuzma or even Zach LaVine, like, does that create more of an opportunity for Malik? Mm-hmm. And was it important for Malik to know, like, I'll have an expanded role because, you know, maybe some guys playing my same position won't be here next year? So, you know, all the chatter would indicate that the Kings are aggressively shopping Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes. And so, you know, maybe that's part of the calculus here from Malik. It's like, I'll have a bigger role next year, whether I'm starting or not, because, you know, they'll replace Kevin Huerter with potentially somebody who plays a different position.
We got another AI write-up of the show. Like, so artificial intelligence writes the summaries of D'Lo and Casey. This one's in a little bit better shape than the last one is. The chat revolves around the upcoming concert at Malik's nightclub in Sacramento. The excitement for Malik Monk's decision to remain with the Sacramento Kings and various aspects of Sacramento's nightlife and culture, including references to the beach town of Santa Barbara and the band Aldrin Revolution.
What the
Revolution?
Who Revolution? Saw this?
I don't know. The artificial intelligence.
Yo, this is crazy.
Anyone who ever has concerns about AI taking their job, just check out what YouTube is doing right now. Your job's safe.
I went to school in Santa Barbara my first 3 years. I spent 3 years at a junior college because I was an overachiever. It was when Revolution, I don't know if you guys are familiar, but it was when Revolution was playing house parties in Santa Barbara. And I have a few very distinct, maybe some fuzzier memories of going to Revolution concerts in Santa Barbara. Now they're like a big, like, national band that everyone knows about.
They are.
So maybe AI did a deep dive into my Santa Barbara background.
Could be, because I don't know who mentioned Santa Barbara.
I don't know what AI, what is it?
Revolution.
I don't know what that is.
No, I didn't hear them.
It's
at
like
the Rage.
Kind of like a reggae style band.
Oh,
I wouldn't have thought that either.
I wouldn't either. Now, but it explains why your memories of them are a little bit hazy.
Yes. Yeah. Another question I had, if Malik Monk had a nightclub in Sacramento, do you think there would be concerts at that nightclub?
Well, we could do it. We're the ones planning it. We're the ones putting this thing
together.
Have
a stage.
We could have YG out there. Instead of Ace of Spades, YG coming through to Malik's this week.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. No, I just wonder, you know, the type of nightclubs, I just don't know that they're the type of nightclubs I'm thinking about. I don't really know if they're known for hosting concerts.
Well, no, we don't think it's not going to be that type of nightclub.
This isn't James Harden's nightclub.
Yeah, no, this is a nightclub.
What would James Harden's club be?
Oh, man. Jeez.
I was just going to see if you were going to call it Harden's, because that would be hilarious.
Oh, come on.
That would be hilarious.
Nope.
Oh, all right. Nope. You don't have to wonder what it is.
Oh, man, I'll stick to going to Malik's.
Man, we're going to Malik's. That's what I'm doing. We're gonna make
Chris.
This
you got to come to Malik's, man. Yeah, it's gonna be the hottest nightclub in the city.
We're gonna Malik's make this happen
at the old Hung King Lounge.
Well, maybe we'll find a different location.
The old Avalon.
Is Brandon Ayuk invited?
You tell us.
Come on, it's got to get done.
We got Malik Monk Day. When's Brandon Ayuk Day?
I think my whole thinking throughout all of this is that, you know, even going back to early in the offseason when it was apparent this was going to kind of be drawn out, it was in my mind, it was always like, yeah, this is probably going to get ugly at some point. There's probably going to be social media stuff. There might even be a trade demand, whatever. pretty typical for NFL contracts for all that stuff to happen. And then ultimately the Niners have done a pretty good job of getting these deals done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing John Lynch always says is deadline spur action. There's absolutely no deadline in June for anything, right? We're still a month away from players reporting to training camp. And so typically that report date serves as a deadline, and it has for the 49ers in the past when it comes to getting these deals done with George Kittle, Fred Warner, whoever it may be, Deebo Samuel, who I think was those negotiations were a lot more contentious than these seem to be. I don't buy for a second that the 49ers don't want Brandon Ayuk, like he said in that TikTok video, which in my opinion was him just kind of trolling and just kind of, I think Brandon Ayuk has a really good mind about him and knows exactly how to push the buttons on social media and how to, I don't know if change the narrative is the right way to put it, but how to add to a certain narrative, if that makes sense. It didn't necessarily move me in a way that like made me think, oh, this isn't going to happen, or the 49ers. I've never thought the 49ers were going to trade Brandon Ayuk. I still don't. My expectation is this deal is going to get done. And, you know, it'll be a lot like the other ones. I think it's just going to be difficult because the 49ers have so many highly priced players. The receiver market's exploding. And it's just going to be hard to keep everybody paid. So I think it's a difficult contract to do, but I think they'll do it just given their history of getting these contracts done.
Yeah, I think they'll get it done as well. You know, I don't think if he's looking for that $30 million a year or, you know, the reported $30 million, I don't think that's going to happen. And I think he's got to be okay with that. You know what I mean? It's easy for me to say, but I think 26 has been reported. I think that's more than fair for Brandon Ayuk, and especially when you talk about the team, right? Like, they're giving you 26 in part because that's about all they can give you. It's not because they don't want to give you 30, but like that's about all they can do. They're giving you almost all that they can while being able to keep a team around you that's super competitive. I don't know. I think it's around that $26, $27 million, and I think that's a good, fair deal.
I think it'll probably be a scenario where when the deal gets first reported, it'll be something that averages, you know, 30 million or whatever, just like when Adam Schefter or whoever the NFL reporter is, it gets a tweet, it'll be from the agent, and the agent will, you know, blow up the numbers to make it look bigger. But then there will be, you know, void years tacked on at the end, and it'll be probably closer to what you're talking about, 26, 27, 28. My expectation would be, you know, after the first two or three years of the deal, there would be an opportunity to sign a new one. So he could have another bite at the apple. It wouldn't be the type, like Trent Williams, his contract when he signed a few years ago was essentially, it was a 6-year deal, but it was basically 2-3-year deals, right? One that they could opt out of and rework and, you know, give him more guaranteed money and all of that. I would expect something along the same lines with Ayuk. And that's why this stuff is so complicated and gets so drawn out, because there's so many particulars in these contracts. And I will never begrudge a player for fighting for everything he thinks he's worth. But I think it's just going to be complicated, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if it's just one of those deals where, you know, 2-3 years from, or 3 years from now, we're talking like, all right, Brandon Ayuk's going to sign another extension and the money's going to be a little bit different. I'd imagine that's what the 49ers want, because they're going to need as much flexibility as possible going forward, because we're going to be this time next year, we're going to be talking about Brock Purdy getting $50, $55 million a year. Yeah. And that's very much in the 49ers calculus right now too.
He's going to have a Super Bowl on his resume.
Great stuff, Chris. Great to catch up with you on Malik Monk Day. We'll have a VIP table waiting for you at Malik's when it's time.
Drop our name at the door. It's good. If they give you any hassle, just be like, come on, man. D-Lo and KC sent me.
That's Chris Bateman. I got
you. I'll meet you at the door around the back, not the front door.
But there you go. Oh, yeah. We'll get you in the exclusive door, Chris. Great to catch up, man. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you.
Good to see you guys, as always.
That's our man Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee, and of course of the Candlestick Chronicles podcast as well, with our man Kyle Manson and the Insiders. We'll come back. Kyle Manson's partner on the Insiders, James Hamm, talks. Now we can get into the finer details of this conversation, because I have some questions about the Kings, salary cap, what they could do, what they can't do. And, you know, James is in vacation mode, so there's no... There's no telling what version of James Hamm we're going to get at the top of the hour, but
he's going to say whatever.
Either way, it's going to be fun. That's coming up here. It's D'Lo McCasey. Continue on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Bob Backlund. That's my claim to fame. That's my claim to fame.
You're pretty connected to Bob Backlund on the show, whether it's the belts or seeing him at the store.
Well, I gave Tatum the Bob Backlund treatment, and look at that. Now he turned into a champion.
What are they going to say now?
Now you're not going to get power bombed at the Garden the day after Survivor Series anymore, so you're fine.
We did it!
Oh.
You got to stop, bro, because I don't want to talk. Just be nice, dude.
That's my boy, too, man. That's my boy, Tatum.
He's kind of cheesy. I love Jason Tatum. I love Jason Tatum.
Oh, that reminded me. I know we got to get to the phone lines, but a lot of people were asking me last night, are you getting the Malik Monk jersey now? The answer is absolutely I'm getting the Malik Monk jersey. For sure, for sure. But this was the conundrum that I'm in now. I don't want to disrespect my other boy, my boy De'Aaron. I can't have a Malik Monk jersey before I get a De'Aaron jersey.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't know this for sure. I haven't asked him. I think De'Aaron would be okay if you got a Malik Monk jersey.
I mean, I'm sure.
Again, I haven't asked him. Because
he's
okay.
A good dude. I'm just saying, like, I don't want to disrespect my boy De'Aaron, so I'm going to have to find a way to get both, man.
So,
I'm
no, sorry. What happens is.
I have to find a way to get both.
Yeah, man, can you.
Jersey Gate is.
He's got an $800 t-shirt on. He's talking about, I got to find a way.
Yeah. It ain't no damn $800.
Not what the internet
says. $799.99. You know how the stores do it.
No, hell no.
It's not what the internet says.
Why don't you just get Tatum, Monk, and Fox, call it a day?
I told you Tatum is down on the
Tatum
on the
USA.
Tatum's behind
Steph.
Steph. Yeah. Anthony Edwards on the list.
Wow. Guy wins a ring and he's moving
down
the
rankings.
Get a
Caitlin Clark jersey?
No, but I like Caitlin.
I get an Asia Wilson.
That's my I get an Asia Wilson.
Yeah, who did I say I was going to get? Oh, Kelsey. I was going to get a Kelsey.
I get my Asia Wilson jersey.
WNBA All-Star voting is out. Asia Wilson is number one. Caitlin Clark right behind her. Aaliyah Boston at number three. Shout out Aaliyah. Good ball player.
Caruso-ish.
Those Fever fans are. Well, no.
That's a little Caruso on the Lakers-ish.
Those Fever fans are working hard. Stewie fourth. Arike Agumba. But while they round out the top five, then you got Sabrina, Angel, Kelsey Plum, Nafisa, and Derica Hamby after that. Let's get our man Ramsey in here, 916-909-1320. James Hamm coming up here in a couple minutes. What's up, Ramsey?
Just wanted to talk before we get back to basketball, talk about that powerful night last night in Birmingham, Alabama. I mean, and everything about it, it really wasn't even about the game with the Giants and Cardinals. It was just about everything that happened and surrounded it around the game. I mean, seeing the 99-year-old gentleman Bill Gleason throw out the first pitch, seeing Willie Mays' son with Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr. basically said, we don't want a moment of silence. Let Willie hear you.
That's right.
And then having on the broadcast the legend Bob Kendrick from the National Negro Museum Hall of Fame tell all the stories that he knows off the top of his head that he can recite like clockwork for four innings was masterful, and he does it on a daily basis. I mean, it made for a great night, great television, and a great piece of history.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Ramsey, who seemed to have no trouble getting the Negro Museum out. Hey, Ramsey, you still there?
Yes, sir.
What'd you think about the did you, and I think this was a different part of the broadcast. Did you see the Reggie Jackson part?
Yeah, that was crazy.
I did. I caught it later, and I have no issue with it. I mean, the man expressed what truly happened to him, what experiences. I mean, if it came out raw, real, and uncut, that's how it has to be delivered for people to understand not what he went through, but what all walks of life went through, regardless of sport or not.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, Ramsey. Yes, thank you.
Up,
that
was powerful.
That was powerful. That was
tough. And I don't know if there's much they could have done, but I'll still salute him anyway. Salute to Fox, who let him roll. Go.
Yep.
They let it roll, man. Yep. I didn't get a chance to see it because we were working, but I went back and saw some stuff.
I was going to ask Ramsey, did you see the clip? No, okay. Ramsey is not on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know where. I think Ramsey front, man. Where you just see it? Well, where you just see it?
My thought was maybe Katrina showed it to him, but maybe so. Ramsey.
I think Ramsey on Twitter, bro. He talking about, oh, I saw it. How you know? How you just see it, dog? How you just see it?
Can you imagine Ramsey as King's Muse?
Oh my God. That's awesome.
The pregame
that
show.
King's Muse video that they put out of Monty McNair doing the what was it, Yachty doing the dance
Yachty,
on the stage? Yeah,
I don't
amazing.
Know how the people be doing.
I don't
that.
Either.
Crazy.
I don't either. But that's it's phenomenal. Crazy. Go ahead.
But no, I thought the Fox pregame was fantastic.
Yeah,
I think we always talk about like sports media and studio shows. Now, the crazy thing about it is, man, baseball kills it on every channel. Like, mm-hmm. the baseball pre and when they do yep. post is, whether it's MLB Network, Fox, Turner, whatever, like, man, those dudes are really, really good. And A-Rod and Big Poppy and Derek Jeter being on there, they did a great job. Did you see when Bond said he would have took Satchel Paige deep?
Mm-mm.
So Jeter was,
I actually didn't see any clips of Barry.
Oh yeah, he was.
No, I know. Yeah, I didn't see it. Like I saw him when right. we were working, but I never went back.
Well,
to
I mean,
watch
this
what he
one,
said.
This one was floating around or whatever because Derek Jeter was like, you know, Barry, what would you do, you know, if you went up against Satchel Paige? And Barry was like, who, me? He's like, yeah. He said, be gone, bro. It'd be gone. Not even close. It'd be gone or whatever. So Barry's saying that or whatever, and he's, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, you got to have confidence in yourself or whatever. And the first time I ever really thought about it, I don't know if there's anything there or whatever. King Griffey Jr. had a look on his face like, this guy can't stand this guy. Because Bond's like, oh, yeah, he'd be gone. I'd take him deep. And Griffey was like, all right.
Well, okay, Ken, settle down. What's Barry supposed to do? Go, oh, man. Three pitches and my ass is back on the bench. Oh, man, he's the greatest player of all time.
Griffey, I was like, settle down, Ken Griffey Jr. Relax. I never thought about it, but I wonder if they got a little friction.
Oh. Hold on.
You see it right now?
Yeah, no, y'all got to see this. Oh, this is good. No, this is good. Hang on. Talk amongst yourselves.
And serial connection, man. He don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, that my bad. He said Griffey has every right to dismiss that dude. Settle down. All right, settle down. We ain't disrespecting the best baseball player to ever
play.
Well,
people have their feelings about Barry. It's fine.
And I'm telling them to settle down.
I don't know. What are you yelling
at
me for?
That we ain't doing that. You ain't in Chicago, Manny. We ain't doing that out here.
All right. Settle down, pal.
He says with the Cubs hat.
That's bruh. Giants playing the Cubs today?
No, I made sure they weren't
playing.
Tell
me right now, on the spot, what would you do against Satchel Paige?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Gone. You lost your mind, Jeter. Gone.
Look at Griffey. Griffey all hate.
Griffey look like he want to go.
Oh, hater Griffey.
Griffey look like he want to go. Now, hold on. I think he cracks a smile here.
Simple. Gone. Read about it on ESPN, Fox, News, whatever else you want to talk about.
He having fun Griffey, with it. Yeah, Griffey, he having fun
Griffey
with it.
Griffey was like, oh, this dude right here, man. I ain't knowing.
That is funny. That is funny. Now, to be clear, he does playing into the bit. He is having fun. I don't like that laughter was way too much. Like, watch A-Rod. Watch A-Rod's response.
Tell me right now, on the spot, what would you do against Satchel Paige?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Gone.
Okay, come on, man.
Little Goodfellas.
Come on, man.
Relax, Steve Ballmer. What are you grabbing his knee for?
Look at all three of these guys. Look at your
that's
boy.
No Goodfellas.
Get your boy Poppy over here.
Whoa, what do you mean?
All three that's of these boy, guys. They all do the table slap.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Gone. lost your mind. Bro,
yeah, David Ortiz is doing a little too much there.
No, they really did. No, listen. Listen, play one more time. They really did do a good fellas.
Tell me right now, on the spot, what would you do against Satchel Paige?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Gone. You lost your mind.
No, what's my man? What's,
Alex is the worst.
No, hold on. What's that, Kevin Burkhardt or whatever? Check him out. I'm sorry to play this again, but check him out. That was an aggressive laugh.
Tell me right now, on the spot, what would you do against Satchel Paige?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Gone.
Yeah. No, and he moves the microphone back to his face. Come on, man. I hate this stuff. Why are y'all doing this? This is ridiculous.
Barry Bonds, Dave Chappelle out
look
there.
Look at all four of them. Three baseball legends and Kevin over there. And Ken Griffey staring at him. Like he just said the stupidest
Kevin
thing
is
in
just
history.
Hunched over, slapping the table.
Oh, was there a dress code for this and Barry didn't get the word?
I feel like Barry gets to wear what he wants.
Barry looks fantastic. By the way, Barry looks fantastic.
He does, man. I think he's 50 plus.
He looks fantastic.
He looks great.
Yeah, man. His head is returned to.
Well, I mean, it did when they said he was on the juice and he hit like 30, 35. Okay. That's the thing I always talk about. Oh, he only doing it because he's on the juice. He got off the. I remember specifically. Wilbon was like, he looks noticeably smaller this spring training.
That is so not what Michael Wilbon sounds like.
Well, I wasn't doing a Wilbon impression. I can't do a Wilbon impression.
Nope.
But
hang on, James.
He said, he looks noticeably smaller. No. We'll see what he does this year. And he hit like 45
okay,
home runs.
Let me.
I want to see. If I don't believe in me, who going to believe in me?
That's right.
I'm a drag button.
Derek, you said
I'm drag button.
I'm going to take all those people off the
field. We're going to race to first.
I don't care, gone. Me and you, brother.
Why does Barry sound like a 70s pimp?
Tell me right now.
Like, listen to it. Why does he sound like Huggy Bear when he talks?
Me and you, brother.
Okay. All right.
Me and you.
I've had enough of this.
Me and you, brother.
I've had enough of this. What the hell is going on here?